All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. All right, and it's right after 1 Chronicles. You can't miss it. All right, you're welcome. Just want to be a blessing. I'd like to read the entire chapter, but I don't think I have time to do all that and preach the message, but I will read a few verses so that you get the gist of what is taking place. I'll just go ahead and tell you what I'm going to read to you tonight is a prayer, all right? The king is, his name is Jehoshaphat. And he was a good king. He was a godly man who loved the Lord. He was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he sought to do the right thing. And God blessed him in some mighty ways for doing the right thing. Now, he did a few bonehead things, but we're not going to talk about those tonight. I want you to notice in verse 1, here's what the Bible says. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. All right, now jump down, please, to verse 5. It says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah. All right, so you've got these nations that are teaming up. They have formed a confederate, and they are coming after Judah. They're coming after Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And so Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, verse 5, in the house of the Lord, but before the new court, and said, now this is his prayer, now you listen carefully to this, the king said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now, folks, I want you to notice what he said in the first part of this. He said that God rules over all the kingdoms of the heathens. Amen. All right? Now, please keep that in mind. Verse 7, he said, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Mount Seir is the Edomites. All right, so you got three nations: Ammon and Moab and Edom, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. So when they came into the land, let me just park right there a moment. When they came into the land, to conquer the land so that the 12 tribes could occupy it, God told them not to bother the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites. Don't bother them. Now, if you go back and check, you'll find that they were half brothers. They were family, so to speak. And so they had set up just outside the land. And so God said, you be nice. When you go over, you don't want to fight them. Let them alone. And so that's what they did. All right, but now look what happened. It said, but they, middle of verse 10, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. So they, when they went in, they did not go after them. They went after the Canaanites instead. Verse 11, behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Our God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Now, don't you think that was a wonderful prayer for the king to say? And by the way, he said this in front of all the people. All right? He was very bold. And he prayed this prayer to God in front of all the people. Now, I want to speak to you tonight primarily from verse 12. And I'm going to entitle my message tonight, Seeking Help from the Lord. Seeking help from the Lord. We all need help from the Lord, don't we? Amen. Seeking help from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. And I pray that you will bless your word and give us what we need tonight. I pray that you will look down into our hearts tonight. And Father, you know what each and every one of us needs. And so I pray that you will give us a blessing and give us what we need this evening. Father, we need your help in all things. And I pray that you will point that out to us this evening. And Father, may we look to you and trust you for those needs. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, look at verse 12 again. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And by the way, let me just say, if you'll read, don't do it now, but when you get home, read the rest of the chapter. And you're going to find out when you do that God told them, told Jehoshaphat, don't do a thing. Don't do it. You go out like you're going to fight, but don't fight. You go out like you're going to defend your city and your people, but don't lift a finger. I'll handle this. And that's exactly what God did. When it came time to fight, they turned on each other and they killed one another off. And then the children of Israel went out after it was all said and done, and they went out, as the Bible here calls it, for a spoil, and it took them 4 days to gather up all the spoil. The people came to fight with all their possessions, with their gold and their silver and their jewelry, and they had so much they couldn't carry it in one trip. So they went out 4 different times to gather up all the material that they brought with them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, listen, folks, why don't we just let God help us? Why don't we just let God fight our battles? Why do we have to think that, well, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to fight this myself. No, you're going to make a mess out of things. Let God handle it. And if we would just let God handle it, we'd be surprised what the Lord would do. Now, in the beginning of this 20th chapter, we see the king praying to the Lord. And he is praying because his people were being invaded by a coalition of nations, Ammon, Moab, and Edom. They had all formed an agreement with each other and were coming against Judah. But in verse 12, when Jehoshaphat was seeking help from the Lord, he did not know what to do. He did not know how he was going to survive and the people were going to survive this attack. I mean, you get all three nations together and you've got a huge army. And so he didn't know how they were going to survive. He was very broken. He was totally helpless before God. And so he went into the house of God, got on his face before the Lord, and begged for God's help. Listen, what an honorable thing to do. Wouldn't you just love to see our elected officials get on their faces and seek help from God Almighty? Wouldn't you like to see that? I mean, you talk about shaking a country, and you talk about starting a revival, it would be the likes of which has never been seen in this country. But you see, folks don't want God, and they don't want revival. They don't want God or revival because then they'd have to give up their sin. And they don't want to do that. And so that's why we're in the shape that we're in today. Folks don't want God. They don't want God's help today. Especially the present leaders that we have today. You know, they feel like they know more than God. So why seek God's help on anything when they feel that they know more than anybody else how the world and how America ought to be run? But Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah knew they were in trouble. They knew that it was do or die. And they had better cry out for God's help. And so they came together and the king called for the nation to fast and pray. And that's exactly what everybody did. And when they did, God honored and answered their prayers. Now, folks, let's just be honest about it. Sometimes the devil just comes at you, and when he does, you don't stand the chance against him, and you and I just simply need God's help, don't we? I mean, there are just circumstances that come along, and we scratch our heads, and we wonder, wow, how am I going to get through this? Well, instead of cowering, and instead of fearing, why don't you get alone with God and your Bible and just cry out for God to help you in your time of need? The way to get God's help is just like Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah got God's help. You pray and you ask him for his help. And by the way, folks, God has filled his word with promise after promise that if we will pray for what we need, God will provide us the answers to those prayers. Isn't that awesome? That's our God. You know what the problem is? We don't pray. We don't pray. Or we go look for anybody that'll give us an ear except for God. We don't pray to God. Oh, we're all for talking to our friends and those that will listen, but we don't talk to God. You know, it's rather strange. The only one who really wants to listen is God. And we don't go to God with our needs. When we need help, We're all for everybody else giving us an idea or giving us some kind of advice, but we ought to do what Jehoshaphat and the people did, and that's go to the Lord and ask him for his help. Now, just a couple of things I want you to see tonight. First of all, I want you to notice with me, he prayed in verse 12, he prayed for the punishment of sin, of evil. He prayed for God to judge the enemies who were attacking them. Look at verse 12. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge who? Them. The ones that were attacking them. At this coalition of nations who were outside of Jerusalem and were getting their battle plans together. They were ready to attack. This invading army, three nations strong, came together as one to conquer Judah. And folks, here's the kicker. Look back again at verse 10. When they came into the land, God forbade Israel from attacking these three nations. God said, leave them be. Don't mess with them. You let them alone. And God gave them the land, and they didn't have to fight against their distant relatives. And now here are these three ungrateful nations who are attacking and coming after them. Now, they spared these nations. And yet, this is how those nations returned the favor. So Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord and begs for God's divine judgment to fall upon them. Folks, this question is often asked by the people of God, and it has been for as long as people have been on this planet. Why does it seem that the wicked prosper? Why does it seem that those who live sinful lives and wicked lives seem to do well and prosper and rule over the righteous? And Christians have asked, should it not be the other way around? I mean, shouldn't Christians have their thumb on the evil and the ungodly? But it's not that way, is it? It's not that way. We wonder, how in the world do these people stay in power? That's a good question, isn't it? How in the world do these people stay in power? Why does it seem like that we have just a bunch of lying, drunkard, murderous politicians running the country, running it right into the ground, mind you, but running the country while the godly sit back and it seems they're powerless to do anything? That's how we feel. It just seems like everything's backwards, doesn't it? And the godly will then ask the Lord if he has, by chance, noticed what these people have been doing. You know, Lord, have you not paid attention to how these people are behaving? Lord, are you not aware of all the babies they're killing in the womb and now in some cases outside the womb? God, have you not been paying attention to all the evil and the scheming and the planning and the destruction that they're causing? Lord, what's wrong? What's wrong? I mean, have you not decided now's the time to judge them? Well, folks, listen. I know it seems unfair, and I know that a lot of folks through the centuries have asked that question. You know, where's God? We look at the world, where's God? Well, let me say right off the bat, God is in good shape in heaven. And he knows exactly what's going on. Amen. Folks, I've told you before that it's in the scriptures that in the last days, things would get bad. And they are bad. Yeah. Now, in my opinion, I think that they're bad enough for the Lord Jesus to step out of heaven and come back and get us. I believe that things are that bad. But if we were to be able to go to heaven tonight and ask the Lord Jesus when he's coming back, and God would speak up, because God's the only one that knows, according to the Bible, and God would say, he's coming back in 2 weeks. Then we would all come down here, and I wonder if we would stay close to God for even 2 weeks. Don't you? I mean, would we stay close to God? Would America listen? I don't think they would. And I don't know how many Christians would be broken and stay that way for 2 weeks. But folks, here's the question. God, are you not going to judge? Jehoshaphat prayed, "Wilt thou not judge them?" And I'm afraid that we sit around and just expect God to start throwing lightning bolts out of heaven and kill all these people that are going against God and against his word. Wilt thou not judge? All right, let me say it this way to you, folks. The answer to that prayer is a resounding yes. God judges evil. He judges sin. Now don't, whatever you do, don't misunderstand that God judges sin. You see, what you plant is what you're going to harvest. What you sow is what you're going to reap. God does indeed judge evil. That is a basic law for which there is no way around it. What you sow is what you reap. All right, now let me take you back a generation. Do you remember when there was this crazy demon-possessed guy over in Germany back in the 30s and 40s? Do you remember that? Do you remember him? He had the world around the throat and was choking the world. He was killing Jews by the millions. Yeah. They were as brutal a bunch as you'd ever want to find. They were just absolutely as evil as they could be, and they had a plot to control the world through the Nazi embrace of a murderous ideology. Multitudes were asking God, where was he during this difficult time? I mean, we were sending our young people over into Europe to fight and out into the seas in North Africa. We were sending our young people to go out and fight, and many of them were sent back to us in flag-draped coffins. And those that were left here begged God to end this war. We begged God. The nation begged God. And the wrath and the judgment of God was eventually poured out upon that axis of evil. Adolf Hitler took his own life in his bunker. Benito Mussolini was killed and hung from the streetlight so that his corpse could be seen by all. And Japan surrendered, but only after two of her major cities were destroyed and thousands upon thousands of people killed by nuclear bombs. Where's God? Folks, listen. Evil is punished. And you mark it down. Vladimir Putin is going to pay. You mark it down. Word has it, he's eaten up with cancer. That's what word has. Word has it that he not only has cancer, but he has Parkinson's disease. And it is growing rapidly in his body. He doesn't have long. We sit here and say, how in the world could something like this happen? Folks, just sit back and watch. God judges evil. Amen. He judges evil. He always has and he always will. Wickedness seems to have the upper hand in our world today. There's no doubt about that, folks. But there is so much evil in our world today, and much of it is on purpose. It's on purpose. The human trafficking, the drug culture, all these fentanyl deaths. Young people, please listen to me. If anyone ever offers you a pill or two and says, here, take this, you'll enjoy the ride. It'll make you feel good. Don't do it. Amen. Now, I'm warning you, don't do it. 1 grain of that fentanyl is enough to kill you. 1 grain. You know how it kills you? It shuts your lungs down. You can't breathe. Now, it'll knock you out first, and then you can't breathe. Now, you better be careful, young people. I'm telling you, the devil is out to kill you, and he'll do it any way he can. So you better be careful. Oh, the cartels on the border, the corruption that's in the government. If you believe that Paul Pelosi got up in the middle of the night and opened the door, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. I'm telling you, folks, they're a bunch of perverts. It doesn't matter where you look. It's just absolutely disgusting. But you mark it down. You mark it down, God is going to judge. Amen. Praise God. God is going to judge. The wickedness that's going on in our schools with the LGBTQ plus agenda and them confusing first and second and third and fourth graders about gender, you keep your mitts off our kids. Amen. You pervert, you. Leave our kids alone. You ought to take your kids and put them in Carol Christian. That's what you ought to do. Because we're not going to teach that garbage. One of these little darlings comes and says, well, I'm just not sure what I am. We're going to put a football in his hand and we're going to show him what he is. Amen. Little girl comes in, I don't know what I am. Well, we're going to strap an apron on you and we're going to teach you what you are. That's right. Now, y'all take it any way you want. I don't care. You know what I mean. I'm sick of it, aren't you? I'm so sick of woke, I can't stand it. I'm sick of it, and it's destroying our country. And all this evil is going on and it's on purpose. But you mark it down, God's going to judge. You know, it just seems like it's everywhere you look. You say, well, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? Maybe, hey, this is in the Bible for a reason. Maybe God's people ought to sit down and read this chapter and then say, hey, it worked for Jehoshaphat and Judah. Why don't we do it? Why don't we pray for God to intervene and fight our battles for us? Don't you think we need God's help today? Man, I certainly do. All right, I got to move on. I never will get done. Second, I want you to notice he prayed for the problem of weakness. Now, I know nobody in here is ever gets weak. I understand that. God bless you for it. Y'all are such strong Christians, and God bless you for it. But I need this next point. All right? I need this next point. Notice the king said in his prayer, we have no might against this company that comes against us. Oh, by the way, we have no might against this devil that's coming against us. I mean, you hear these... You hear some of these guys on TV, you know, and they'll say, yeah, I was face to face with the devil. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Yeah, I told him, buddy. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're no match for him. If he appeared and breathed on you, you'd run. Don't give me that stuff. You're no match for him. Let me remind you, he was a fallen, or is a fallen archangel. You're no match for him. You're weak. And they knew that they were no match for that coalition of nations. So what did they do? They prayed, God, you got to help us. And God did. Don't you think we ought to just sit back and say, Lord, we don't know how to fight. We don't know. We're outnumbered. Lord, we're not strong enough to fight and win against this company that cometh against us. And just let God fight the battles for us. Amen. Don't forget, this man was king of Judah. But he recognized his weakness, and he asked for the Lord to help him. He's the king, but he humbled himself and admitted that he needed God's help. You know, pride often causes us to refuse to humble ourselves and admit our weaknesses. Pride often gets in our way and keeps us from admitting that we cannot do it alone. But you can't do it alone. You're just not strong enough. But until we admit our own inability, we will never pray for God's ability. Folks, we got to trust the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, it was drilled into me, self-sufficiency. You know, they drilled it into me. My family drilled that into me. I don't need help. I can do it on my own. Well, you can't live the Christian life on your own. I can tell you that right now. So why don't you pray and get God's help? Now, here's something to consider, Christian. Listen very carefully to this. You know, sometimes the Lord will allow us to face a situation that so overwhelms us that we ultimately come to the conclusion that we need the Lord's help or we're never going to make it. You know, sometimes he does that. You say, well, why does he do that? So we, oh, hard-headed nutcases that we are, that we will realize we need his help. That's why he does that. He doesn't put you through the storm so that you can get hurt. He loves you, as Josh said. I mean, he doesn't do that. He wants us to trust him, though. Seek him and seek his help. Jehoshaphat admitted his weakness, and the Lord said, I will help you. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord will see us through if we humbly seek him and ask for his help. Oh, there's been so many times in my Christian life where I just didn't know what to do in a situation. And being the stubborn, hard-headed, strong-willed person that I am, I've just said, I can handle this. That's what I was taught, handle it. I can handle this. But then there's been so many times where the Lord showed me, no, you can't handle it either. So you better trust me. And I'm telling you, folks, if we'll trust him, he'll help us. Amen. Number three, real quick. Notice, he prayed for the perception of duty. He prayed to understand what was his responsibility. Look at your verse. Look at verse 12. It says, for we have no might against this company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. No, we just don't know what to do. Anybody ever got there? Anybody ever got there? Sure you have. Sure you have. We all have, haven't we? What do we do, Lord? Well, there's another place where it seems like we all get to in our lives. What do we do, Lord? That's a place where we all get to eventually, somewhere along the way. But wait a second. You ever stop to think that our wisdom matches our weaknesses? You say, wisdom? I don't have any wisdom. Why don't you go to God and ask for some? Isn't that what he told James? He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. That's the only time I like the word liberal, right there. Amen. That's my only time I like it, right there. Lord, I need wisdom. I got plenty of that, God says. And you know, if you lack wisdom, you ask it of God, he'll give it to you. And then it says that he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraid means he's not going to scold you for asking for it. How many of you guys have sat in your recliner and just waited for one of your children to get up and go across the room into the kitchen? And then you said, hey, while you're in there, can you bring me a glass of iced tea? I'm not going to go there. You're not going to drag me down that road. No, sir. And so you'll see your children, one of them, and they'll come with a glass of iced tea, and they're mumbling as they bring it to you. You lazy, good-for-nothing, sorry thing. Here. What's she doing? Upbraiding you. Upbraiding you, scolding you. All right, so you go to God, and God is never going to scold you for asking for wisdom to know how to deal with the situation that you're facing. You say, dear God, dear Father, I'm faced with this dilemma. I don't know what to do. Would you give me wisdom so that I can make the right decision and handle this the way it ought to be handled? Man, you ought to pray for wisdom in being a dad or a mother. Just pray for wisdom to make solid, sound, godly decisions. Amen. You pray for it, and God will help you. And then lastly, I want you to notice that he prayed about his practice of worship. He prayed about his practice. Look at the last little statement that's made there. Jehoshaphat said in the last part of this verse, "Our eyes are upon thee." Our eyes are upon thee. The practice. This is full faith in God. This is total confidence in God that he knows the situation and he'll bless. We might be overwhelmed by the problems we have to face, but we have to keep our eyes on the Lord and seek him in our troubles. You all are familiar with Hebrews 12:2, aren't you? What's that verse say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. And I remember when I was in college, I had a professor by the name of George Dollar, brilliant man. He taught us the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians and 1st and 2nd Timothy and Hebrews out of just a Greek New Testament. He didn't even bring a English Bible with him. He was a scholar. There's very few of them left, but he was one. And he would come in and just open the Bible and start teaching. You better start writing, because you're going to see it again. And George Dollar, I remember him saying at this verse, that the tense of the word looking is a tense that means you stare at, and no matter what happens around you, you don't take your eyes off of him. That's looking unto Jesus. You know, most of us are like that little first grader, you know. Little first grader goes, "Oh, look, there goes a squirrel." And off after the squirrel. And then, "Oh, look, there goes a dog." And then after the dog. That's what most of us are. We're just chasing everything and anything that moves. But the Lord said, or the Holy Spirit said of the Lord, look to Jesus. And no matter what goes on out here, don't look at it. It's a red herring. It's just to distract you. It's to get you off. No, put your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. That's the practice of true worship. Someone has said that the eyes are the window to the soul. You can look into a person's eyes and you can feel a multitude of emotions. So let me challenge you folks. Look into the face of your blessed Savior. Look into his eyes and feel him bidding you to come boldly before the throne of grace, that ye may find what? Help, grace and help in a time of need. Folks, I wish I could help everybody that comes to me. A lot of times, though, people ask me things and I'll try my best to help them, but it just doesn't seem to work. But I tell you, somebody who knows all the answers, would you just look into his face? Just look into his face. And no matter what the distraction is around here, you keep looking at him. and he will help you. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord's help. Don't you? Jehoshaphat sought the Lord's help, and he kept his eyes upon the Lord, and the Lord gave him and the people of Judah a great victory, and they didn't have to lift a finger. I don't know how it gets any better than that. I really don't. I mean, look, please, at verse 24. It says, and when Judah came together, or came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. They killed one another off. Wow. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Now, you know what that tells me? That tells me that these people were so full of vanity that they didn't want to leave their valuables behind. You know, I might get killed in battle, and then that neighbor of mine might get my valuables. You know, just selfishness. That's our world, isn't it? But now they're all laying dead. And God said, help yourselves, boys. And they did. And they did. And watch this. It says, more than they could carry away. Wow. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Unbelievable. All we got to do is just let the Lord help us. And boy, will he ever help. Let's bow for prayer. Folks, keep your eyes on Jesus, all right? Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Now, our Father, we ask you to bless. I pray that you will help us to remember to keep our eyes on you. And Father, our folks all over this auditorium, our folks are going through situations and difficulties and problems where we just need your help. And Father, I pray you'll give us a real boldness and a real desire to want to get close to you and just call upon you for the help we need. Our nation needs help. Our leaders need help. America is in terrible, terrible shape. And we need help, Father. Amen. And so I pray that you will just put it on the hearts of people to get out Tuesday and vote. And Father, I pray that they'll vote righteously. I pray that you'll give revival in this land, that it'll be so overwhelming that it will be seen as a clear mandate that our country does not want to be a socialist, communist nation. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to just bring our burdens, our needs, our troubles, our heartaches, and just give them to you. And you bless Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah when they did that. And Father, I pray that you'll bless us as well. Touch our hearts with what we have heard. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.